Now, the conversion of Lydia marks a very significant step forward in the advancement of the work of God. The conversion of Lydia is the first record that we have of a convert on European soil. She was one of a number of ladies that met on the Jewish Sabbath weekly for prayer. And presumably those ladies were longing to hear of the coming Messiah. They, not knowing the Messiah had come, and they were trying to understand the Old Testament scriptures. And Lydia, as she met with those ladies, she was not from Philippi originally. She had come far away from Thyatira in Asia Minor. The purple dye of Thyatira was famous through the then known world at that time. And here was a lady who was of a business mind, an entrepreneurial lady, and she had come away with her business to this city of Philippi. Now, as we read of the conversion of this lady, the most significant detail that we have concerning her conversion is given to us in verse 14, where towards the middle of the verse 14, it says, "Whose heart the Lord opens." Whose heart the Lord opened. Her heart was opened by the Lord. All of us in this meeting tonight who are saved, we are saved because there was a day when the Lord opened our hearts. And what I want to consider just for a few moments this evening is Lydia's heart opened, an encouragement for missionary endeavor. Lydia's heart opened, an encouragement for missionary endeavor. I want us to consider, first of all, the Lord's pursuit to open this heart. The Lord's pursuit to open this heart. During part of Paul's second missionary journey, there was a period of time when it was not clear to Paul and the men of Wycliffe where they were to go next. And so they knew the Lord was pushing them forward, but they didn't know where the Lord was taking them to. In fact, the Lord was closing doors. And we often pray, and it is right to pray, that the Lord will open doors for his work. But here, these servants of God were finding that the Lord was closing doors. In verses 6 and 7, we read words like, "Forbidden, suffered not." And there were regions of great need. And these men saw the need, and yet the Lord was saying, "No, you're not to go there." The Holy Spirit was closing doors. And then, most unexpectedly, there was this vision in the night. And the Lord opened the door. The Lord opened the door into Macedonia, and to this city of Philippi especially. And when they came to Macedonia then, they made their way to this city of Philippi. They were there for a number of days, but the only one that we learn about at the beginning of this period is Lydia. Some of you perhaps have gone on to a satellite view of Google Maps or something like that. And perhaps you have looked at the British Isles, and then you focused in on Northern Ireland, and then you focused in on the Armagh area, and maybe then you focused in on your street or your road, maybe even to your house. Well, it's a bit like that here. You have the whole region of Macedonia, then Philippi, then by the riverside, and then one individual. What we see here in this particular passage is something marvelous. We see the Lord's pursuit of the individual sinner. You see, if you read carefully the words that precede this, you'll find that the very area where these men wanted to go to, if they had gone there, they would have come to Thyatira. But Lydia wasn't at home. that he was in Philippi. And the Lord closed doors, redirecting them, because the Lord had an interest in this one individual sinner. She was a religious woman, a devout woman, one that was seeking to worship God, but she had, was a woman that had a closed heart. But the Lord had a messenger. And the Lord sent that messenger to this woman with a closed heart. And surely that is grace. Grace pursuing sin. And you think of the events that followed Lydia's conversion as she invited the missionaries into her home. And I'm sure they would recap to her their recent journeys. They would tell her of how they desired to go into certain regions, and the Lord had closed doors. But the Lord had opened the door for them to come to Philippi. You think of Lydia sitting there listening to all of that? Was it for me? Would the Lord take such interest in me? Doesn't that give us great encouragement? It certainly gives me great encouragement about the work of God in Scripture. The hearts of men and women and young people are closed. And the great multitudes are happy that it is so. Yet, what is the gospel? God pursues sinners. And it's very clear, Lydia could not open her own heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lydia could not fix the problem with her heart. Romans 3:11, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. Now, yes, Lydia thought she was seeking God, but she was in fact seeking religion. She was like everyone else, though she walked the clean side of the road. She was one of those that had gone out of the way. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me wrong. As we think of the great difficulty then, the great barrier within the soul, within the heart of man, we come to words like this, it gives us great encouragement. The Lord is able to open the heart, and the Lord does open the hearts of men and women. And perhaps there's a young person in the meeting, and the Lord has been burdening you concerning Christian labor, whether at home or in some foreign place. And perhaps as you survey the multitudes, you say, well, how could I go? Why would I go? Why would I exert all of that labor for so little fruit? Will it all be wasted in the end? Who is going to need? I ask you to think of this. Paul was sent to Lydia. Paul could not open her heart. If the Lord had told Paul, open the heart of Lydia, he would have been in such a state. How can I do it? But you see, Paul didn't need to think that. He had his duty, and we'll come to that in a moment. But Paul recognizes the Lord that opens the heart. Therefore, today, if you hear the Lord saying to you, go. Go with this assurance. It's the Lord's work. And the Lord will do it. His work. The Lord will honor the word as it's preached. Maybe there's one in the meeting that you're still not seeing. It's an act of the Lord's providence, an act of the Lord's mercy that you're in God's house this evening. You said it among God's people. Take encouragement that the Lord here opened the heart. You may sit here stubborn, willfully refusing the gospel. The Lord's able to break through that you would cry to God, deal with my heart. The Lord's pursuit to open this heart. I want to see, secondly, the apostles preaching, yearning for an open heart. And for while Paul was convicted that the Lord needed to open Lydia's heart, Paul was not restricted in evangelistic preaching on that particular day. If you look with me at what it says in verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now this lady was responding to the Lord's voice. This was the effectual call of the Holy Spirit. And yet, outwardly, there was the call of Paul. The Holy Spirit was pleased to take that word of Paul. And I want you to see then that as Paul saw this lady, he preached to her because she attended, she responded unto the words that he had spoken. What I'm seeking to emphasize is this, that Paul's sermon was not an intellectual exercise. He preached longing that the heart would be touched. He preached challenging the unbelieving to believe. And while Paul knew that he had no ability to open the heart of a sinner, it didn't prevent him pleading with a sinner to believe. As we come to words like this, the Lord opened the heart of Lydia. If some would tell us, you ought not to emphasize things like that, that will be a hindrance in prayer, or that will be a hindrance in preaching. The opposite is the case. As we grasp the sovereignty of God, it will drive us to prayer. As the preacher grasps the sovereignty of God, it will drive him to preach. It will drive him to present the challenge of the gospel. And to the sinner, there was a lady that sat in darkness. Paul could preach with his great assurance that the Lord is pleased to take that word, light and shine into your heart. The apostles preaching yearned for an open heart. I want to see then finally the evident productivity from an open heart. For as we read of this lady attending unto the word, it says in verse 15 that she was baptized, and as she came to faith in Jesus Christ, it was a desire in her heart that she would be identified as such. And she then opened up her home in verse 15 when she was baptized in her household. She besought us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. And here was a lady only converted, and she was giving herself to the work of God. And surely we could describe her as someone Christian. Remember what it says in Psalm 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. Where was Lydia converted? Beside a river. And she became like that Christian in Psalm 1, verse 3. Planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit. Her life immediately was a testimony to the Lord's grace. She immediately had desire to be used of God to help others who were serving the Lord. And this surely then is to be our expectation. But as the Lord opens hearts, their lives will be transformed for the good of their own souls and for the good of the work of God. Lydia was saved at the riverside. And she was prepared for another great riverside meeting. Remember, Revelation 22 speaks of the river that proceeds from the throne of the Lamb. And there as she met the Lord by that river, she was prepared for that great future gathering. Are you prepared for that day? Are you ready for that beautiful day when God's people will gather before the Lamb you're not saved, then you flee too. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah got a vision of the holiness of God. Remember how, as he had that vision of the holiness of God, he heard that voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "You're mine. Send me." Perhaps there's one in the meeting that you see the way of the missionary, the way of the preacher, the way of the children's evangelist is difficult. You get your eyes on the glory of Christ. And you get your eyes on the sovereignty of God, God's great plan. And you respond as Isaiah, "You're mine. Send me." Trust the Lord to take his word.